Okay. Let me start off with a little introduction and then we'll just kind of go into it,
All righty.
what's up, everybody? It's Frankie Slauson here, and welcome to another Renegade Radio ex interview exclusive or exclusive interview, number two of the day. Earlier, we did an interview with Robin Williams, a tribute artist, David Bourne, a couple hours ago, and that went pretty well. Now we're on the main event of the night. And we got a guy who I found courtesy of the good old Facebook shorts, YouTube shorts, all the it wasn't really from TikTok, but then eventually I found out he had a TikTok because everybody has everything in social media when they're on the shorts and everything. A young upcoming ventriloquist, but a guy who's been doing this for quite a little bit, almost you could say a lengthy career, but he's very young. He's a young guy from Las Vegas. Mr. Landon Harvey, welcome to Renegade Radio, my friend.
Hey, thank you for having me. This is fun.
Oh yeah, and that background, man, I tell you, and with what you're wearing, you kind of give like an 80s, 90s vibe. I mean, holy crap,
Yeah, I love it, right? I gotta have that pop of color, adding a life back into the old art of ventriloquism. So
That's
that's
right,
what we're
that's
doing over
right.
here. Working with the wonderful famous artist Christina Demuse. She did this wonderful tarp backdrop, and she actually painted this jacket, which has just got so much beautiful depth and
Oh,
detail in it. So we've
it
got some
kind
fun
of
stuff we're cooking up here at the shop in Vegas.
okay. It kind
Yes.
of gives me off that vibe of I don't know if you ever got into professional wrestling at all, but there's a tag team called the Nasty Boys that kind of wore similar gear, kind of like to what you're wearing in your jacket. It was kind of their colors kind of like similar.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
So I don't know how much you follow that or if you do or not, but that's a long time ago anyway, when they were around. I'm happy to have you on the show, man, because I've been watching your videos, kind of learned a little bit about you. I watched a few interviews in a way to kind of get an idea of what you're like, when you're not in character and everything. And I'm really excited to have you on because I feel you're one of those unsung heroes or unsung talents that people don't know about, even though they probably do, but I'm just not aware if they do or not, because I found some stuff about you, but you're not, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like you're somebody who's going to go places if you haven't gone places already. So I
Well,
want
thank you. Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate that. I've been doing ventriloquism since I was six, and I'll be 24 in November. I'm kind of a dark horse in my career of ventriloquism. I'm working on my first tour, and I've been building my social media since 2018. But it's really cool to see how well I'm received online and that people relate to the characters in my work. So just like what you said, it means a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And it comes from the heart, man, because I appreciate the people that have a talent and actually want to do something instead of just having a regular 9-to-5 job. Not saying that that's not good and not saying that people shouldn't do that, but it's like everybody has their own way of how they grow up. And
Absolutely.
you've lived in Las Vegas all your life, I can only imagine the life that you've had up to this point. So
Well, and I didn't. I moved here in August, if you can believe it. Even though it
oh,
looks like
so.
I grew up here.
Oh,
So
where are you from then? What's
I'm
your?
from a little town called Plano, Texas.
Oh, okay. See, I thought you were
Yeah.
in Vegas the whole time because you get kind
No, there's
of.
nothing going on in Plano, and I had a bunch of friends out here, and so I moved back here in August and have been running ever since. Yeah, I've
Oh,
got a studio
okay.
out here and working with
Oh.
artists and doing the social media thing and then gearing up for my tour and just really like a lazy Susan on full spin. Just everywhere I turn, there's something new to work on. It's been fun.
Well, it is Vegas. I mean, compared to a town called Plano, it sounds that there's plain in that title.
Yeah, it's plain and old. That's Plano, Texas. Yeah. It's exactly what it is. And
Oh.
I go back home and I go back home and it's just like time freezes. It's like everything here is so just slow and peaceful and nice. And I'm like, I need that urgency to get stuff done. And then I come back and it's like, okay, there's my
But
off
dude,
back off to the races.
I'm guessing people know about you though back home though. I mean, they know what you want to be and or what you become kind of.
I was doing kind of any kind of show I could get out there. I did a lot of corporate stuff and kids shows and Cub Scout banquets. And I did kind of the whole gambit in terms of like what you could do as a ventriloquist. And then I started doing social media. And so versus being hired to go do a show where you have to cater to that audience, now I have an audience that comes out to see me, and that's what I'm working on. So it's kind of shifted a little bit. And I've kind of learned who I am through the whole process, and from, building the characters and learning who they are, then you learn who you are. But yeah, it's been interesting. My parents have known I've been doing this since I was six. My grandparents thought that this was just like a phase that I was going to grow out of, and so
Of
it's
course.
always amusing for them to hear my adventures in Las Vegas, because they
I
think
would.
I'm like living on the strip. You say you live in
Oh,
Las
yeah.
Vegas, they're like, oh, you live on the strip, with all the homeless and all the magicians. And no, it's not. By the way, homeless and magician is kind of redundant in Vegas. They're a dime a dozen. But yeah, it's crazy out here. It's fun. I love it.
But you try to create an art, and regardless of whether it's music or stage or whatever, I mean, you try to create something that's, a lot of people can, only a few people can do, I would say. I mean, especially ventriloquism. I mean, I don't think I could do it. I mean, I can do voiceovers and stuff, and if the microphone's good, because it always kind of does something to your voice where it enhances everything, makes it sound more professional than you probably are as a person. But
Yeah, it's got that crisp sound to it, right?
Especially if it's a good mic. If it's a cheap ass mic, then it's like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, no, exactly. No, that's exactly it. And I think a lot of people can learn ventriloquism, and I think it takes a mentally insane person to do it well. And that's it's a lot of practice, and then also it's like you learn it and then you throw it away and it becomes second nature. So it's a weird art to learn and explain. But
I would figure that your family would be, would well. I mean, you say that your parents are very supportive, but like the grandparents probably just thought, well, we're worried about you because in today's world, everybody has to work twice as hard just to get around, and sometimes that is true, to a degree. But like if you get there with the right people and get there with the right scene, like where you are now in Vegas, I feel like that's going to really help you and it elevate you to a level you yet have yet to go to yet. So, I
Yeah,
mean.
I think so. And no one in my family was in entertainment, and I've been doing to them, I'm just another, I'm a kid that loves puppets and loves to perform. So they don't really kind of that's like too close to comfort. They don't see, not to be pompous, but how good I am and how long I've been, how much I do this, and how much content I put out and everything else. So I think for them, like seeing the numbers, it's like, oh, people do enjoy what my son or my grandson does, and it's relatable to some degree or whatever, and he's safe, and I think that's their main worry, is that
Yeah,
or do
no
people
doubt.
like it, and then is he able to make money with it and be
Sure,
safe and all that,
sure.
so.
And they don't want you to be literally homeless and everything, because that I don't think everybody could deal with that either, especially.
Yeah, usually a homeless person is accompanied by like a dog or something, but like a homeless ventriloquist would be too much baggage to carry around.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll talk for myself and others for food is rough.
That's
Yeah.
great. So as a young man growing up around entertainment, has ventriloquism always been like your top choice? Has it always been something that you just figure, well, if I did this when I was six and I'm doing it now, why do anything else?
For the most part, I did a lot of musical theater and acting throughout middle and high school. That was a side thing, and that was fun. But it's really my through line has been ventriloquism. And I've all my friends in middle school and high school were getting jobs at Sonic. I was on out on the weekend doing shows, and that was neat for me. It kept me from having a real job, and I still haven't had a real job, and it's allowed me to be the escapism for people that do have a real job, because they come see me and laugh for an hour or whatever, and then go back to what they were doing before. So
Sure,
yeah,
I mean,
it's always been.
I'm sure some of your friends were probably a little jealous, the fact that here you are doing all this fun stuff. It was like, oh, we gotta go to school, we gotta go do this, we gotta do that, we gotta be normal people, and you get to go have fun. And I was like, I'm
Oh,
sure
I still had to go
you.
to school. There were a couple of days I got to miss because I had shows, or I was in a program called ISM, which basically you got to study with a mentor, and I could skip full school days, and that was fun. But yeah, I think them hearing how much I made doing a kid's birthday party in an hour versus how they have to shovel hamburgers or whatever is that probably caused some jealousy or ruffled some feathers, but. I've been doing this since I was six, and it's like anything else. You practice with it, you get good, and then people when I hire you because you're in demand. So it's one of those
Now
things.
I'm sure some of your friends, seen your act and like, you've shown them what you're doing and everything, and they're like, man, that you should run with this. You should be doing your gigs and stuff. You should be doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think it's weird. I still get messages today from people I went to high school with, or I was in the back of their math class or whatever in middle school, and they're like, "I can't believe you still stuck with it. Now you're on social media, and like, good for you." And it's they'll always crop up, and it's really funny. My high school reunion is gonna be wild.
That's right. That's right. Wait till you get to your first 5 years or 10 years, and it's just like,
Oh
wow.
gosh, man.
I've already been at my 20th already. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, the time has just gone by. And I graduated
Yeah,
in 2002,
exactly.
so it's like, what in the hell has happened in that
Yeah, for
time?
sure.
Well, the thing about what's always impressed me with people that can do ventriloquism is just the fact of how you got to get it so perfect to where you're given the illusion that the, obviously, I hate to break kayfabe, but you want to make sure that everything's working as good as it can. Like make sure that the characters are speaking how they're supposed to speak and nobody's looking at you. But I'm sure people are like, even myself, when I first saw you doing it, I was watching you first before I watched the character talk, because I just wanted to see how you reacted, by hiding your voice,
Yeah,
and
you want to make sure that the technique is good. And that's usually like the first thing. And it's so funny because when people see a ventriloquist live or on social media, that's they're testing to see how good of a ventriloquist they are. And then after about a couple lines, they're like, okay, they're good enough. And is the puppet alive? Are they alive in response to the puppet? And then after that, it's like they're like analyzing it in layers, right? Because then it's like, okay, now they're both alive. What are they talking about? Is it funny? Is it emotional? Are they singing a song? Like, why am I invested in watching this? And that's also how I learned. I learned the art of ventriloquism, and then I learned keeping the puppet alive and me being alive in response to it. And then I learned how to be funny. So in the same way someone analyzes a ventriloquist, that's how we learn as well.
Oh, absolutely. And
Yeah.
going back to growing up, I'm sure everything always takes inspiration, right? You gotta have somebody that you idolize or somebody that is doing what you want to do, but you want to be kind of like them. Who are some of your favorite puppeteers growing up, and maybe they are still are to this day?
Yeah, I mean, obviously people say Dunham, and so Jeff Dunham is a big one. The name in ventriloquism today for his global reach. Gosh, who else? A lot of ventriloquists, David Strossman, who's very popular in Australia. Terry Fader, season two winner of America's Got Talent. There was a ventriloquist that I had seen live when I was 6 years old named Dennis Lee. And seeing him perform live was what sparked my interest in wanting to learn about the art. So him. And then, of course, I grew up on shows like Sesame Street and Bear in the Big Blue House and Johnny and the Sprites. And these things, they had puppeteers. They weren't ventriloquists, but it was all about the interaction of the human with the puppet and
Sure.
the wonder and the craftsmanship of the look and design of the puppet, also with the character. And that's something I've always tried to strive for, is like, I want the quality of my puppets to look as good as I want the character to be perceived. And I think that also helps it. So I kind of overthink a lot of this stuff, but I also build my own puppets, so that kind of goes
Oh
into that.
yeah. I will get into that here a little bit here about your characters and everybody who's on your roster, as far as your current roster anyway. Of puppets anyway. Like for you, I mean, see, you don't look like a ventriloquist. That's just the funny thing about it. You look like you're just like a kid that just, has a little messy hair and just does, like one of those just those average millennials that,
I
want
hide it
everything,
well, Sean. I hide it well. I used to, the AGT has footage of me auditioning when I was like 15, and I had a Lego piece of a haircut and a little purple vest. And they're like, "You look too polished." So since then, I've messied it up, and I look like some, Marty McFly dupe or something.
There you go. There you go.
But I'm kind of coming into my own and figuring out my style. And I get told I look like a ventriloquist a lot. Which is not as bad as being told you look like the ventriloquist dummy, which I've also been told. So, and I get that, like, the wide smile and the comical eyes. So,
Like, who's the
what are you
dummy?
gonna do?
Who's a puppet? Who's a puppeteer,
Exactly.
right?
Yeah.
Wow. I would never be that cruel to say that, but I mean, just like, wow.
Well,
Like,
and family's cruel. But Yeah.
That's funny. So let's learn about your characters, like, and kind of how they all kind of came to be, as far as, because I'm sure every character that you have has a story of why you want to them to be a part of your act. So what are your characters that you're currently that working with right now?
Oh my gosh. It's taken a bit of an evolution. The ones in my show that I've been writing for, my Damaged Goods tour, we've got Jackie the Jackalope. We've got Bunky the Redneck. We've got Mervin. We've got Mervin's dog, and we've got Bill the Zombie. So that's about five in an hour. Jackie was created from a voice I heard. I heard this Midwestern guy's voice, and it was kind of slow like this, and he kind of would talk and then kind of stop and ponder and kind of chew and then kind of go back. And in talking with my friend and mentor Bob Rumba, we were trying to figure out a character that was like an animal that was kind of different. And for some reason, we settled on a jackalope because it was like a rabbit but kind of wacky, and that was what my brand at the time and still is. And then I built a puppet that became Jackie Jackalope. And then I started doing TikToks with him. And this was back when TikToks were shorter. So the voice that was slower had to be kind of quicker. And then over time he became a fast talking jackalope, and that went into his character. And then it kind of turned out that he was more like ADD. And so kind of the whole like necessity for having quick setup punch went into adding into his character. Bunky is my newest character. He's my redneck. He's not supposed to be in my show, and he crashes my show. And that was because I've got family in Houston that either look like him or look like they would be really good friends with him. And there's a part of me that writes really well for that. And I love Bunky. People are either grossed out, or I think they're grossed out, and they're also delightfully surprised by Bunky because he's just stupid and goofy. And he's my tribute to Edgar Bergen, famous vaudevillian ventriloquist. He had a figure called Mortimer Snerd. The guy to do that in his own voice was Jeff Dunham with Bubba J. And now I'm doing it with Bunky. It's just, we've all kind of, it's all derivative, but it's my approach because I'm from Texas and I've got to have that kind of character.
That's right. That's
The guy that frequents the Bunkies or whatever.
right.
So that's Bunky. Mervin was an old man puppet that I've had for years. I used to write for the character with my dad, and it was a fun thing for us to do. And then it's kind of evolved into this audience involvement routine and us talking about his sketchy retirement home, shady folks. And then I wanted to add a dog to it, so now I'm building this little dog that he has to deal with because he's dating this old lady. And that the whole antics with that, and then I close the show with my zombie who sings the song and falls apart. So and Bill the Zombie is like my he's my divorcee underdog character that happens to be a zombie, and has the whole brains undertone and all of that. And I think that each one of my characters speaks to an essence of me that I'm slowly learning to accept. More or less.
One day they'll all come alive and you'll freak you the fuck
Yeah,
out.
just about. Yeah. Yeah. There's
Oh,
times where I'll respond to someone and I go, that's Bill the Zombie or that's Jackie. And
sure.
sometimes, my parents will go, you sounded a lot like your character, your puppet when you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem when you're a ventriloquist. You don't work with anyone but yourselves.
Well, yeah, but I mean, then, like, are you supposed to create a voice for every individual? It's like, I mean, you kind of want to, but it's like sometimes you're just stuck with what you have, and then you got to try to make it work with what you got. So,
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just how it goes. I know there's people that probably can do other voices, with their puppets and stuff, and God bless them for doing that. But it's like I'd say that'd be hard, unless you're really, really good at it. Unless you're like,
Yeah,
okay.
I work really hard at it, keeping the voices different, and or if they're similar, spacing the puppets out in the act and all that. Yeah.
Sure. And you got to have that energy too. And I'm sure for a young guy like you don't really need a few Red Bulls to get you going. You just have that automatic energy that you're excited to do this. And it's like, I'm going to put on the best show I can put on. And And these people are never going to forget my name.
Yeah, and I've also structured it so my show starts high energy, and by the end of it, it's, the scope of high energy character kind of goes down after Jackie. I mean, I end on a dead guy, so it makes it manageable for me to perform an hour show, which I'm just now realizing. I'm like, that's a great strategic move that I didn't realize that I was doing at the time.
Oh,
But yeah.
see, you figured it
Yeah.
out.
Yeah.
What was I going to say now? Now that you've been on social media for the time that you've been on there, obviously you're not a camera shy person because you don't seem like you're a camera shy person. Even just by being somebody else or working with characters and the things that you've created.
Sure.
When you first decided to go on social media, what was who did anybody inspire you to do that, or you just said, you know what, I want to see what happens. I want to see if I can make a business out of this, or just was it just for fun in the beginning?
Yeah, at the time it was 2019, I was on the way to class, starting community college, and I remember thinking, like, TikTok, I had heard talk. TikTok was out for a couple of years, and it was mainly just dancing. And I thought, well, what if I did a video with a puppet and like tried out jokes? Because at that time, I was gonna do comedy clubs, but you do an open mic night, and you drive an hour out to wait until it's 2 a.m. to do two jokes, and then if you got a puppet, you're getting heckled by a bunch of wannabe comics that are drunk anyway, so it's like
Sure.
pointless. So I thought, what if I could try out jokes online? And I posted a video, and I think within like 2 hours, it hit 10,000 views.
Oh,
And I didn't
wow.
have a following or anything. I was on Instagram, but I wasn't like my friends followed me and vice versa. It wasn't like, you can find me on Instagram kind of thing. And that's when I realized I started posting videos and pretending to go to the bathroom so I could check my analytics and going, oh my gosh, I can't believe how rapidly I'm growing on socials. And then I started doing live streams, and it just kind of started from that. So it was an idea that I had, and then I realized how quickly it was snowballing, and I've just tried to capitalize on it since.
You didn't know how to
That's
really
kind of
how
more of
to
an obligation
yeah you
and
might didn't
a
know how to
business
read
tactic,
yeah
but
yeah yeah well yeah, because you were young then. I mean, you're young now, but like you didn't know how to react. You're like, what the hell is going on? I just did I do something wrong or whatever? Why am I all these people following me? And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, something positive
yeah,
had happened.
exactly.
No, that's how I feel about social media. It's like, it's nice when people who definitely deserve to the views get it. When there's people that don't deserve it, like, you've seen probably people watch videos of people of just like, sneezing or whatever. And you're like, why are you watching a video about sneezing and that could get like 10 million views or whatever? It's like, what
And
the hell?
it's always like that, as a content creator, you spend 2 hours filming and editing something you think is going to hit, and it flops. But then you film something at 2 in the morning and you post it, and it goes over big time. It goes viral. So it's like there's no, you just never know, and that's why it's such a crapshoot. But
So, do you got like any siblings at all that are helping you with this too, or just you by yourself, kind of other than your folks who supported you?
I've got a younger sister, but she is not on social media at all. I mean, we could not be. She's like going into the Navy, and we could not be polar opposites. So it's our parents are proud and scared for both of us, because if one of us bombs, it's really bad, and I think they're referring to me on that account. But
Sure.
yeah, no, I have it's really all been me. It's been exhausting, but it's all been me. I have a lady that I work with that runs a fan page, and I collaborate with on edits and clips from the live streams, because right now we're doing the live streams, and then we take that and chop it up and post it as content, and then
Sure.
eventually it will be parts of the show that will make it out there on content. So having someone else that is a fan of mine, but that can also kind of analyze what I've done and give me her opinion on it, truthfully, is very helpful. Sometimes I'm too close to my stuff, or I don't remember it at all, because most of these live streams are just improvised, or I'll try a new joke and throw it in there, and she goes, "That was really funny. You should do that in the show, or we should post it or clip it or
Yeah.
whatever." And I say, "Go for it. Let's try it."
Is that the person that coordinated the interview with me? That
No,
actor?
that's a different person.
Oh,
Her
okay.
name's Bex. She's in the UK. Shout out, Bex.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All the way to the UK. Jeez, and you're all the way in Vegas, so that's still a little far away from each
I know,
other.
exactly.
The internet just it's a wonderful thing. It can be. I know some people say it can be a scary thing too, but when you, if you do it right and you know what's right, the difference between right and wrong, you'll be fine. Yeah, there's
And
nothing.
I try to be, I try to, it's comedy and it's puppets and it's jokes. And I try to tell people, if I do offend you, I'm sorry. I make fun of myself. I make fun of everything and everyone. But at the same time, I'm also being inclusive,
Sure.
because
Yeah, no, yeah.
I'm talking about what's relevant. So, but at the end of the day, my goal is to make people laugh, and that's why I try to have a puppet for everyone. And it's cool to see kind of what people gravitate towards. So,
It's your
anyway.
brand. You gotta protect your brand a little bit, you know? I mean, this is something you're creating, you know, out of nothing, you know, and now it's something, you know, and it's like it's your brand. I mean, I
Well,
understand.
and the other thing is, like, if a comedian says something and they are canceled for it, or if it's question, it's like it falls on that comedian. And yes, it's they're saying it for comedic purposes, but it's like, what's the extent of that? Well, for me, it's like it's in the moment, and it's not just me as the comedian, but it's me as the comedian thinking for a comic character. So it's like I kind of get a little bit more leeway, which is fun, and I can kind of push it, because then I can always play the straight man and go, oh, you shouldn't have done that, which is what the typical ventriloquist has done for years. Oh,
Sure, sure,
don't
sure.
do that,
Yeah.
button, don't say that. Yeah, exactly. Bergen had it with Charlie McCarthy. Dunham has it with, Peanut or any of his puppets, and that's just kind of been the trope. But yeah, no, it's been fun. It's been great. I've had people from Argentina and Canada, and they're like, messages from all over that go, you understood that joke there, or this resonated with you. Wow. It's like, I'm doing this from the corner of my bedroom, and this is going out to millions of people, and they're really
Sure.
moved by it or whatever. It's
Well,
so
hey.
weird.
You
I got
got.
into this because I love it and I enjoy it, and to see that so many people are also feeling that way about it is
Hey,
kind of hard to fathom at times.
that's why I wanted to interview you because, you know, it's because of stuff like that, you know. And then
I appreciate it.
we're learning as we go along, you know. I mean, I always
Yeah.
like to improvise what I do most of the time. That's why when your press lady had me write some questions, I just said, well, I'll ask a few of these, but most of the time I just improvise. I get a feel of the interview. And if it's going where I can ask some questions that are like just made up from the top of my head, I'm going to do that because, you know, you never know. You know, never know what the
Well,
answer.
and these are, you're asking great questions. Usually I get like, oh, what is it? It's like, when did you start, or like, how many puppets do you have, or what, so you build your puppets tub. Yeah. And it's like, there's only so many times that you could be like repetitive, where I feel like a broken
Well,
record. So it's like, it's kind of
I
one of those hard things where it's like,
thought it was going to be a challenge to get the approval, but I, you know, it seemed like everybody was happy with what they received. So I'm glad that you guys,
no, it's all, we're all great.
you
Yeah.
know, yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, I get it. You know, I've done a lot of interviews, and I try to ask different questions as well. I, you know, some people sometimes it's hard because it's like you don't know if what question's been asked. Like, I'm not going to ask
Right,
what's your
right.
favorite color because that's just like, well, what the fuck? You know, that's not a question.
Purple, although it's hard to
Right.
tell with this jacket. Yeah.
Figure more like a neon or like a, you know, well, like an 80s style because that's
Yeah,
okay.
just anything
Jacket,
neon is
damn
probably more fitting for, yeah.
it. Yeah. But no, like when it comes to like your stage act, like you would tell me about how you prepare or like how you kind of do it, but like without giving too much away, like what do you talk about with your characters? Is it more like what we see on social media or is it a little bit different?
Wow, great question. I think with my stage show, and what's been interesting is on social media, most people already know who I am that tune in for the live streams. So they know who I am, and then they know who the puppets are. And so on a stage show, I do get people that come out that know me to see me, but most of the time it's new people. So you are reintroducing these puppets every time you do a show. So the material can't be anything that is solely reliant on the audience's previous knowledge of who the puppet is or who I am. So I basically have to explain, like, hi, my name's Landon. I am a ventriloquist. This is my life. And then we kind of go into like how the characters relate to me. And that was kind of the hardest thing in figuring out, like, how am I going to introduce a jackalope? But we figured it out. And I opened the show with a little stand up and kind of talking about myself and my dating issues as a ventriloquist and kind of talking about the theme of my show being damaged goods and what that means to me. And each character that I bring out kind of harks back on that, and that creates some comedic tension. And by the end of the show, it kind of wraps everything up with a nice bow. And we kind of each puppet, you learn about each puppet and how it relates to me, and how everything is this beautiful, chaotic little scene that I feel more comfortable in on stage than anywhere else in my existence is
Okay.
really what it is. So.
Yeah, and you know what I get out of that too is like when I'm watching some of your clips, that another reason why I wanted to have you on the show is because I like how you're going for adult humor, but you're not trying to go for adult humor. Like you're keeping it a mystery, but we know what you're talking about, but you don't really go into explanation about, because you can talk about something, you can go into something that's completely filthy, but you're not being filthy. You're just kind of given the imagination, like, you know, I'm thinking about this, but are you thinking about the same thing I'm thinking about? Or are we, you know, on a different level? And your pants
Absolutely.
in
Yeah,
my
I bathe in innuendo. That's it's my favorite thing. I abuse it so much in terms of like what my comedic style is. But it's fun, and the great thing too is figuring out what can you do, or should kids come see me, it's okay for them to see, but it's more of an adult show. So I think right now in my written show, I drop a couple F-bombs, but I could always write the like write them out if I need to for a specific audience. But mainly it's kind of more situational, and revolves more around the character's existence and kind of what their purpose is with me on that stage. And then of course, we have innuendo and everything else to kind of pepper the comedy.
It kind of reminds me of an old show that I'm sure you probably watch this since you deal with puppets and whatnot, Crankyankers. Ever watch
Yeah,
that?
absolutely.
It's like
Absolutely.
a
I've got friends that built the puppets
Jerky
for
Boys.
it.
Yeah, Jerky Boys. It's like a Jerky Boys kind of show, kind of like.
Yeah, and even, they say a lot like Shrek it up. Shrek had a lot of innuendo and a lot of just references to pop culture and things like that have inspired me in writing this, and also in the production of the show with sound effects and fun little things like that that are unexpected. That the great thing about a sound effect is if it's from a movie that people know about, you don't have to set it up. You could just have a line, and then the sound effect plays, and everyone already knows what that is, and so that's an immediate laugh. So certain things were like, even if you don't know who I am, you know kind of the pop culture references, or you kind of understand who I am by the end of the show because of what all is said and just kind of the goofiness
Sure.
of all the music.
And you're kind of, you know, since you're doing this pretty much by yourself, I mean, I would consider that more like an independent adventure, more or less. And I don't know, you know, how much of a budget you have, but I'm sure some things are expensive, some things are cheap. I mean, was it cheap or expensive to create the characters from scratch, or?
I think the puppets are the least expensive part of this. Well,
Okay.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard doing it all right. And at the beginning, you learn that like you need the skill, and then you need the right pup. You want unique puppets and all of that. And the puppets I've rebuilt them, and they've taken their own time. But I think I'm happy with the way that they are. Yeah, that's such a hard thing to answer, Sean.
Well,
That
yeah,
is
I
a
mean, that's,
difficult question to, because
you
I'm thinking like, well, the production stuff, I have backdrops for my
know.
show, I have branded stuff, I've paid comedy writers to work for me so we could tighten up things, because I'm only 23, and there's certain perspectives that help that you need a grizzled New York writer to
Sure.
look to give their perspective on. So it's really a group effort for a one man show. But I would say the puppets were probably the most delightful part of doing all of it, is creating the puppet, and as I build the puppet, testing it and testing out lines, and then seeing how it works on TikTok. I was testing out Bunky in when he I say in foam, because when I build a puppet, it's in foam, and then I cover it in fabric and do
Yeah.
all the add the eyes and everything. But
Sure.
I had him done in foam, and I was just goofing around with him on the live stream, and I could already feel the character coming through and working. And I go, okay, if this works this well, then I know that it'll work even better once it's done, and it'll kill once it's on stage. And it does, and it has. So it the puppet building has been the most fun part. And then of course there's like the whole production element and then hiring writers to work with me and figuring out the whole logistics of how am I going to tour this, how am I going to fly with it, and making it affordable and customizable or clean enough to do for colleges, but also kind of edgy and suggestive. And that's right now, which I'm probably going to end up doing colleges. How do you make it where it's okay for the college market, which is a very specific kind of audience, but where it's also entertaining to a bunch of 20-year-olds, without being like too much of like a oh, it's Landon's puppet show. So,
Well,
yeah. I mean, I open my show by saying this is I open it by saying this is Landon Harvey's Damaged Goods Tour, and I named it that because Landon's puppet show just wasn't edgy enough, you
that's
know.
right.
Landon.
That's right.
Landon's puppet party. I need more of an edge as a 23-year-old something ventriloquist. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm rambling, but it's been
That's right.
a collective art, and it's been like a year and a half in the making because I'm a Scorpio and I'm so like fixed on how things should look that I'm very detail oriented,
Oh,
and
you're a perfectionist. I mean, you like I said, you're protecting your brand, and that's okay. You have to. I
Well,
mean.
and then also there's, you know, people expect people see the highlights of my best stuff online from the live streams. And so if they're gonna come pay a ticket to see me, I want it to be like what they're I want it to meet or exceed their expectation for what they've seen
Oh
online of
yeah.
me.
Oh,
And
I see.
that's figuring out, you know, making sure that the characters that they love are in the show, and then also that it's funny, not just funny enough, but even funnier. So they're like, wow, we got to see something
So
different.
does it take a while to come up with a skit? I mean, like just from just if you're bored one day and you're just like, you know, I should create something. I should just come up with something. How long
It
does it
usually
take?
starts with the yeah, it usually starts with the character. It kind of depends on it used to be like you'd write like 5 minutes and then you'd grow it to 10. And now I'm thinking more of like from a full show point of view. So like if I'm introducing a new character, why is that character there? And how does it fit within the show? Yeah, it's really kind of become. I write it at night or early in the morning a lot because I'm kind of alone. I can kind of sometimes I get inspiration.
Sure.
But right now it's been like I've been writing so much that it's like what do we cut? And so it's been a weird. I probably had like 40. I want to say like 45 minutes with the zombie. And we're like, how do we get this down to like 15, 15 to 20? And it was like, okay, well, we gotta have the maggot interaction in there. We've gotta have this. And we'll, you know, and it's and you cut it and then you save the material for a future special or future show or whatever. But it's like, what is the best that I could possibly present right now at this moment? And it's always good to, I think, to go at it that way. Write a bunch and then kind of narrow it down, whittle it down from there and see what works. So
So,
every once in a while, even though my live streams are improvised, I'll throw in like a scripted line to test to see
yeah,
how like people relate to it,
sure.
if it's worth putting it in the show.
So, I mean, since you've had all these experiences and you're working on your tour and everything, I mean, like when it comes to like the end theory, like what's your ultimate goal? Like when it comes to what do you want people to know about you as a ventriloquist?
Wow. What do I want people to know about me? I want to be able to make as many people laugh as possible in my lifetime, and I want to be able to inspire people along the way. And I think if I can do those two things and make a decent living at it, then I'll be happy.
Okay, well, that's a good explanation. So, for people that haven't learned enough about you from this interview, how can they, you know, find you and where are some of your social media platforms you're on?
Yes, so we are everywhere on social media at Landon Venting, LandonVenting, like vent, ING. And then we also have my Ventriloquist University, which is ventriloquistuniversity.com, where you can go to learn to be a ventriloquist. We've got beginner courses. You learn the ABCs of ventriloquism and beyond. It's got literally everything, and it's been my brainchild baby that I've been building for the past year or so, and we've just now launched it. So it's
So you're like
a
an
lot of people have been
instructor.
wanting to learn how to
You're
do it, and
like
this is my
a
answer to them.
so you're like a little instructor on the side, kind of like, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to do something a couple notches up from a YouTube video. So I spent the time and money to create my own online university, because I kept having people say, "Did how did you learn this? Did you go to school for this?" And I thought, "Yeah, I went to school to play with puppets." That's exactly what happened. Yeah, that's it. So now I tell people, "Oh, I studied at the university." The university. Yeah, the Ventriloquist University.
That's
Sounds so
right.
proper. So
Oh,
now you can study at the Ventriloquist University. And
that's
it's a
awesome.
wonderful thing. So
Oh,
you
that's
learn at your
awesome.
own pace and practice
Hey,
with your sock.
and inspire who knows out there, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, my goal is to, continue building the community and keep the creativity alive,
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, man. I tell you, Landon, this is
Absolutely.
a thrill to have you on, and I hope one day you come to Minnesota and come. I'm in northern Minnesota, but I'm close to like the Dakotas and everything. So if you ever do
Okay.
go tour, put them on your calendar because I would love to see you. All
For sure. Awesome.
right, man. Well, I appreciate you, Landon. Thanks for being part of Renegade Radio, and much success to you in the future.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All
Thanks
right,
for having me.
bye-bye.